Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason. I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love, one man from my
Hi, this is Rachel.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
It's Rose Buddies. You did it. You clicked on the right one and you found it. You've done it. You've really done it this time.
You've touched the dial. Now stop.
You've touched the dial.
Stop.
Don't touch
touching.
It anymore, though, because it's got jam on it. You were about to talk about the fucking Bachelor. And what? There's a lot of debate about what even happened tonight, because a lot of the Bachelor scholars can't seem to get together on what happened tonight because it was so gosh damn boring.
Two ladies went home.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that.
But there are no rose ceremonies. Nick is not. Here's what I think. Nick is afraid of flowers. Now, hear me out. I put a lot of thought into this theory. I haven't. I just sort of started talking, and I hoped the theory would come to me. But he doesn't do rose ceremonies very much.
Did you notice that we heard from some florists telling us they listened to the show?
I saw one-star review from a florist, and whoever you are, go eat a biggin. I don't know. I don't know what you want from us. It was obviously
a
joke.
Like a joke.
I mean, it hurt our fucking ranking, so.
Those reviews count.
I'm laughing all the way to the bank where I have to go and get a new mortgage for my house because you've ruined my credit.
And like a casual podcast listener isn't going to see that review and be like, oh, I get the joke. They're going to be like,
I mean, it's a pretty good fucking gag. Don't get me wrong. It's a good gag, but it took food from my baby's mouth.
That's not true either.
He's breastfeeding. So that'd be weird if he took food from, I guess that would mean that you ate less. There's a lot of the scholars aren't quite sure how breast milk even like works. Where does it come from?
I don't really want to talk about.
A lot of folks are just sort of wondering, like, is it just like if you eat a lot of Taco Bell, does it come out? If it's like there's like mild sauce and fire sauce, you know, like is there like a
like soft serve, like swirled?
I mean, I worked at TCBY, and so now you're actually giving me sort of a visualization of like how that yogurt comes in essentially big bags full of like kind of like milk. So
I know that you love talking about how I feed our child, but
I'm just so curious about it, and the scholars are curious about it because nobody's quite sure what happens in there. It's wild, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's I will agree on that one. That one's true.
Today on The Bachelor,
yes,
two women went home.
Yes,
and we should mention we're probably going to record only part of this episode tonight and the rest of it tomorrow because apparently Mr. James Kimmel is doing
the incredible news source that
the
we
incredible
all
news
on.
Source. Well, I mean, they've gotten rid of the other after show, which
I'm just saying some people go to Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
Some people go to, you know, Chris Matthews.
I go to James Kimmel because I go and I get the hard fucking breaking news. That's how I found out that OBL died, that we got him, you know, SEAL Team 6 got in there Zero Dark 30 style and just like hooked him up. Was from Jimmy Kimmel, is how I learned that Osama bin Laden perished.
Yeah.
But it's also where I go to watch kids have their Halloween candy taken away. It's like a fun prank from parents. So it's both, you get both like pranks on kids, and also you learn that Osama bin Laden, famed terrorist, was killed by SEAL Team 6.
Now, I would argue we don't have to watch James Kimmel, that we could just look at one.
We should watch it, though, because I want all the details.
Anyway,
on James Kimmel tonight, they are announcing the new Bachelorette, apparently, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt.
No. See, you're already making a leap there.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The only thing that happened was the executive producer said he was going to make a historic announcement.
On the commercial today, while we were watching the show, it said the new Bachelorette will
be revealed. Oh, it did?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, drips and drabs.
I know, drips and drabs. So, it's going to happen, and so there were a lot of folks, somebody posted this in the Facebook group, and there were a lot of folks who, like, got worried about spoilers. I'm sorry, I just don't think, like, this is Bloyd's stuff, folks. Like, I don't think talking about who the next person on the show is going to be.
And what happened is, like, Reality Steve tweeted it, and so, of course, everybody thinks it's real because he's pretty accurate.
Right. I don't think we're going to restrain ourselves from talking about it, and I'm sorry if that's a bummer, but, like, it's too big a thing for us to, it's, like, a huge news story, if true, mm-hmm. and we can't, like, not talk about it.
Would you ask Anderson Cooper not to talk about a storm?
Who? Would I ask Anderson Cooper not to talk about a storm?
Yeah.
Does he talk about storms a lot?
He was all up in the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. It's just not the first thing I think of when I think of Anderson Cooper's hard-hitting journalisms.
Well, he talks about storms.
He loves weather patterns, apparently. Listen, I'm just now learning this for the first time.
I'm just saying that we are Anderson Cooper, and this is a storm.
This is our storm, because apparently Rachel's going to be the new Bachelorette. We're going to get confirmation. Be still my heart, though, because this would be fucking amazing. Not just because she'd be the first Black Bachelorette, or, like, main... like cast member, what's the right word here, main person on the show, bachelor, bachelorette, whatever. She's also just fucking awesome. Like, she's so fucking good.
And yeah, we're big fans.
So good in this episode, very real, and like, I'm very, very into it. So we're gonna find out, I guess, tonight. I thought it was gonna be on after the show. Stupid me. It's Quantico time. I tuned into about 20 minutes of Quantico while you're getting the baby to sleep.
Yeah,
and let me tell you, I had trouble following it. They're robbing something from the CIA, and it's like, aren't you guys the CIA?
Who's Joe Quantico?
Joe Quantico is, I don't know that that's a character on the show, though.
Is it a gas station, like Sunoco?
Yeah, it's actually about a gas station that steals from the CIA, I guess. we'll have more on that at the end of the episode, and it's good that we have more stuff to talk about this episode, because really, though, dude... This is the fucking, there's something in wrestling called the Go Home Show, and it's what, like, the last SmackDown or whatever right before the big pay-per-view, so you find out, like, who's gonna make the pay-per-view. This is, and it's lame, like, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's, like, exciting, but I feel like in the context of The Bachelor, it is fucking lame 100% of the time.
Yeah, like, it's high stakes for the women on the show, but for us, the viewer, we're like, we just get to it already.
Especially in this season, which, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm still enjoying the season, and I feel like listening back to the past couple episodes of Rose Buddies, it sounds like I fucking hate this franchise and everything it stands for. This season has treated me like I'm the dumbest asshole ever, and I can't stand it anymore.
I know.
It's so much like people, like, I'm just so worried I'm going to go home, and but he's always full of surprises, so you never know. But I think I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go home, and I'll go home, and I'll go home.
You know what I think it is?
What?
I just had a revelation.
What's that?
Usually when we have a bachelor, we get kind of romanced on The Bachelor.
We
get kind of like a America's going to fall in love with him too. And here are all different ways in which we enjoy him and some great shots of him doing the right thing and blah, blah, blah. I feel like with Nick, they're kind of taken for granted that we know who he is. So like, I haven't been romanced on Nick.
I that's definitely part of it. I think the other part is like, I just feel like he has been more complicit in the manufactured drama of the show, whereas in past seasons, that the onus of that maybe was more on the contestants than the Bachelor or Bachelorette themselves, and they were almost like a foil to these like crazy schemes that people are working up. But it's just like, you want a date with Vanessa, and just every fucking word out of their mouth the entire time, like, it felt like if you would pan zoom the camera out and a micrometer, you would see the edges of the cue cards, like. And I don't even think I'm necessarily jaded about this show, because I can still be wooed
it
over.
Sounds like
it
you
can,
are
no
a
well
jaded.
It can still, like, what happens at the end was an emotional fucking, like, gut punch, because it was like very authentic. It's Rachel's date was very authentic and very good, but there's so much horseshit this season, and it just, like, I think Nick was fun on Bachelor in Paradise for the same reason that everybody's more fun in Bachelor in Paradise, and that there's not this, like, there's not this ton of artifice hanging off of it where you feel like you have to, like, follow the rules of the show or whatever.
There's no direction they're trying to get you to go.
And I think that's why there's more, like, actual relationships, like, per capita that have come out of that season than the core series. But it's just like in this, Nick is not fun at all. He is like a producer co-conspirator. Like, that's seriously, when I think of Nick in this season, I just think of him as like this producer, like, co-creative director for this season.
Yeah, it's right. He's behind the scenes saying, like, you know where we should shoot this? I should be on the dock.
It just keeps me from feeling anything for this dude.
Yeah.
Anything at all. I don't dislike him. There have been much, 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 much worse Bachelors. It's just like, I don't know.
Hey, let's talk about the show.
Please.
So this week picks up where last week left off. The women have just been told by Nick that he's not sure if this is going to work for him. And so they're all kind of sitting on a couch in shock. And it's the next day. We get more shots of knees, which Griffin noticed.
Just a big close-up on Raven's knees. Just a big, big, big close-up. There's also a really big close-up on, like, apropos of nothing, Korn's foot, like, her feet. Like, she had something on her feet, and the camera was just, like, zoom, just, like, hitting the feet and knees. And it's like, somebody's got a thing. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's me for noticing all these knees, but it's just, like, nonstop.
And the next scene is Nick on the beach with Chris. And they are having a little chat, and Chris basically says, are you ready to quit? And Nick says, a big part of me is ready to quit.
I hate to keep harping on this also, but Chris looked like he had just gotten fucking kicked out of a Margaritaville for violating the dress code. Well, this dude was so fucking hashtag beach life.
And that harsh sunlight did not do him any favors.
I mean, he's a handsome man. He's a handsome man. It's just,
but
like,
he has a very fair complexion.
Apparently the ESPN, like, what is it? They're like,
their
prediction
app
thing had, like, where is Chris going to have this conversation? And our friends did the thing and they were like, oh, we thought it was going to be in a hotel. It's like, no, dude, if Chris can be on a beach right now, Chris will be on a beach right now.
What
is like
the closest to the golf course? Because that is where he will be.
I think he's more of a beach man. I think he's like Kal-El, powered by the yellow sun, except he's powered by those good, good
ocean. You don't follow
his
Instagram,
oh,
do you?
Oh, is he always on the links?
His Instagram is just all links all the time.
What do you think his handicap is? I mean, his handicap is that if he's not on a beach exposed to the sun's rays, he dies instantly.
Minus seven?
That's very good, I think.
That's like seven under par, isn't it?
I don't know enough about golf to
plus
know.
Plus four?
I think plus four is... Anyway.
Anyway. Okay, wait. Let's keep moving on this, because there's not a lot
it's
that
so
happens.
It's so fucking stupid, though.
And so, yeah. So Nick says that he thinks that there's a million ways that this wouldn't work out, but that he wants to keep going. And he's wearing very tight shorts, and you get a very good look.
Oh, you're looking at the nut? Were you looking at the nut?
I don't know. That's what I was looking at. It just seemed very likely.
I mean, I was looking at the knees. I wasn't even paying attention to that nut. I was looking at those caps. Those Andy caps. What?
What would that be?
They're kneecaps.
Oh, kneecaps. I see what you did there.
Come on. I was looking at those hot fries.
That's nice.
Did you ever have those at school?
No.
We had a vending machine. And
I know what they are.
Yeah, we had a vending machine, and everybody was all crazy about those hot fries. I always thought they were gross. Just, it's just like, they're not fries. Like, Andy, don't lie to me. You're weird. They're like weird styrofoam-esque Cheetos that have like a bad spiciness to them. No thank you, Mr.
I
Cat.
Was never a big fan of any kind of Cheeto or Cheeto variation.
I had those. We got a Tokyo crate. Justin and Sydney signed us up for that for Christmas. They sent Japan exclusive barbecue Cheetos. Y'all, it was a fucking flavor roller coaster. It took me on a ride. Anyway, enough about snack chips. I would like to talk about Takis sometime, but whatever.
So Nick goes to the house, and the women weren't expecting him, so they have to kind of assemble in the living room again. And Nick starts crying again.
We don't want to judge whatever. Like,
he does a lot of crying this episode.
I think anybody should be able to cry whenever they feel like it. Sorry for all the sound in the background. It's kind of hot in the studio right now, and I took my jacket off. He cries a lot this episode, like a ton of it, like a lot of the crying,
like a lot of tears. And yeah, again,
which is like whatever. It's just like it was.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was just like a lot.
I guess I wasn't always expecting it. I don't know where those tears are coming from necessarily, other than just stress. But he says, you know, that he was skeptical because he's been close before, and
to finishing. Those are his words.
But he says, I see what I want in this room, and I want to get all the way to the end this time.
But okay, but it was delivered like, I've been so close to finishing, but this time, like, dragging it out as if to say, we are 9 minutes into this 2-hour production today with like 5 episodes in this season left. And you guys are trying to, this is exactly the kind of shit I'm talking about. You guys are trying to make it seem like you actually want me to believe that he's going to fucking quit the show early. And then what's going to happen for the other hour and 51 minutes today and then the 4 days worth of television show that you have blocked off over the next month. How fucking stupid do you... We've seen stuff like Korn's Platinum Vagine. When is that supposed to happen? If he leaves now, who... Does she hook up with, like, a cameraman or something? How fucking stupid do you think we... It makes no sense.
Maybe they think... We think it's going to be, like, a season of Top Chef where he makes it to the end, goes home for a few months, comes back for the final competition.
It's just... But I'm being serious. They keep doing this, like... Is he gonna go home? No, he's wicked not going to go. There's a 0% chance that that's going to happen for so many reasons, chief among them being Nick's not gonna get off this fucking roller coaster voluntarily.
Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me because I don't think they really care whether I think he's going home or not. It's just part of the pomp and circumstance. It's just like, it's just the magic behind the curtain. Like, we're just playing along as viewers. We know he's not going home. They know we know he's not going home. They're just putting a show together for our delight.
I get that. And I wouldn't have beef with that if I didn't feel like that was becoming like a majority of the show at this point. Like, when you know... The villain's not going to go home. She's going to get the final rose every time, 5 weeks in a row. That level of, like, it's not even predictable. It's not even the word. It's like law. It is law that is going to happen.
I don't want to talk too much about the machinations of the show, but I will say the one thing that Unreal kind of proved to me is that I like thinking about how the show is produced. It does not bother me that it is super produced, because part of what I think about while I'm watching is, what are they trying to do here? What are they trying to make me feel? And I enjoy that. Like, that is interesting to me, too.
I agree with you, and I am into that inside baseball shit, too. I sound so pretentious. I worry I sound pretentious every fucking time I talk about this. It was Terrace House that ruined this for me, because Terrace House made me feel things that reality shows haven't made me feel before, and it's because it was... pretty boring at times, but it tapped into some real shit. And Bachelor is like overjoyed to not only tap into like obviously dumb, like,
yeah,
the show's gonna end 9 minutes in, but also like it's the same shit. It's the same predictable stuff over and over and over again. And I don't have any problem with that. Like, a lot of that is, I use the word law, and it's like a lot of that is like encoded into the DNA of this show that I do love a lot. And a lot of it is because of what the thing is and what that DNA is, but it's just like, it's so much of it now, and it's like, it's exhausting. A lot of this exasperation is coming from the fact that we're still in that Badlands, though.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get out of it in the hometowns.
Yeah, I talk about this every season, hometowns, favorite episode. Let's move through this.
Let's get on to the rest of the episode.
We're still like in the first 5 minutes.
It was just a dumb 5 minutes, man.
So... they're going to, and I'm going to say this three different ways. Hopefully one of them is right. Bimini.
I like that.
Bimini.
Oh, I don't like that.
By my nigh.
Oh, I hate that. That's the worst one you did.
It's an island in the Bahamas.
I think it's Bimini.
Bimini. I think you're right. So the women are all super relieved that Nick is staying on the show.
A lot of the women were like, "Aw, sick, Bimini, this is a dream come true."
And Griffin and I looked at each other like, what?
I haven't heard of it. It looks beautiful. It looks totally fucking rad. And it's on my radar now.
Yeah.
But everybody was like, it's my life's goal to get down to Bimini.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're familiar with the big tropical resort destinations.
Yeah. I've never like been to the Bahamas or anything like that. So I don't know.
Or Hawaii or St. Thomas or any of those fancy islands.
Yeah, sure.
And so they get there, they run to a beach house. Griffin and I were laughing because they all run full force towards the beach house.
I was hoping they would fucking straight up Kool-Aid Man right through the walls. Just shatter through like the glass double doors.
Like Hulk style, just smashing. The date card shows up and it's the first one-on-one and it goes to Vanessa. And this is when we begin to see Corinne start to have like a small meltdown, because she has not had a one-on-one yet. And she knows this is the week before hometowns and the stakes are high. And if she doesn't spend much time with Nick, she's probably going home. So it's time for the date with Vanessa and Nick. They get on a yacht. There's a lot of yachts on this week's episode.
This episode was very yachtsy. So,
oh, Griffin, man. Griffin, we have a yacht to talk about, so we should keep moving.
Oh my god. Oh man, it's good shit.
Yeah, you got another one?
No, I absolutely don't. I do yacht have one. Like, I don't. Shit, we gotta go. Nobody's listening anymore. We could fucking. Here's my social security number.
So Corinne kind of cruelly, but it just coming from a place of extreme insecurity. Talks about how the date card said, let's go deeper. And she's like, oh, I don't even think there's anything deeper to go with Vanessa. With Vanessa, it's always like, oh, I'm Italian. I eat pasta.
I love the way you say pasta like you're on Family Circus. I would like some peschetti pasta, peas. Peschetti pasta, peas.
You just can't ever let anything slip by, can you?
I can't, Jeffy. I meant to tell you that when you went in the backyard and you were doing some yard work today, you left a little dotted trail line everywhere you went. It was absolutely adorable.
Now I don't even want to say.
I'm in your head, babe. I'm in your head. I'm in your gears.
So the whole thing was that Corinne was like, was summarizing Vanessa, and one
slammed
of the
her
things,
for being a, yeah,
she's
a
like,
special
oh,
needs
I'm Italian,
teacher.
I'm a special needs teacher. That's all there is to me.
She's like, that's great. That's actually dope.
Yeah, that's like real stuff.
Yeah, that's like good stuff. Actually, also, you talk about pizza more than like anybody alive. All she does is talk about her adult nanny. So it's weird. I don't get it.
So Vanessa and Nick are on the yacht, and Vanessa said that when she got there, she was worried that Nick was going to make himself fall for somebody. And he was like, yeah, that's what I was worried about too. And she's like, you know, I feel like I've really kind of put myself out there. And then you've kind of pulled away a little bit. They go snorkeling and they reconnect. They kiss. Vanessa tells us that she's in love with him and that she's confident that he feels the same.
Yeah, she's going to tell him tonight during their date, and she says she's so excited to see what his reaction is. And it's like, well, unless this is one of those things that I feel like is actually a little bit unpredictable, because you don't know if this is going to be the season where they say it or they don't say it. Either they don't say it or they say it to 8 women. So yeah. Which one is Nick going to be?
Nick handles this so poorly.
Yeah, dude.
They go out to dinner for the second half of the date, and she says that she is falling in love with him.
I am falling y'all, in love they with you. Hit that am so hard sometimes.
I don't know why they do that on this series, but they always phrase it like, I guess because it's so expected. They're like, all right, you probably think I'm going to say this, but I want you to know for real, though, I am falling in love.
Right.
With
when you say it like that, you are confirming the like need, right? Like, you expect me to be in love with you because I've made it this far in the show, but I am falling in love with you. I also think just like linguistically, when you're uncomfortable in a situation like that and you have to say this like completely like wild thing that people say to each other when they're like extremely, extremely serious and it's like somebody you haven't spent a lot of time with, I think it just comes out weird sometimes. Like, I swear, I think it's just, it comes out weird and it comes out uncomfortable. And that's why like 90% of the time, I am in love with you. Mm-hmm. It just makes it easier to say.
I am going to have that veal.
Yeah. I think I will have that veal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so she says this, and Nick does kind of the worst thing ever. He's like, you know, I've been in love several times before, and a lot of times I've been in love on this show. And I know what it's like to be in love because I've done it many times.
I've told women I love them, told 2 women I loved them on this show. I proposed twice.
Just a reminder.
I've gotten 10 hand jobs. So, 10. Just in life, not here.
Oh, okay.
What other stuff have I done? Gone over the shirt more times than I can even count. Anyway, what did you say? Oh, you are in love with me? Oh, I thought I got confused.
Here are the different cup sizes of the women that I've been with.
Right. I thought you asked me for how much stuff I did.
Here's pictures of all of them. This one I think is the most attractive, and I wanted to show it to you.
He really just sort of enumerates all of the love that he's had.
And then he does all that, and then he says, you know, I just want to be sure the next time I say it that it feels like the first time, and that it, you know, I decided this season, well, he doesn't say this season, but, you know, basically.
This season, on this the most shocking season of The Bachelorette, he says, Nick Vial.
He says, this time I'm only going to say it to one person, and I'm taking it slow, but I want you to know I really, really like you a lot. And she just sits
she's
there.
She's like, she sits there and it sucks.
Yeah.
And they're both just in it.
And then he's like, well, let's get out of here.
Let's go.
They're like sitting on a dock having this romantic meal. And it's basically like she's got nothing to say.
I kind of giggled at this at first because, like, in my mind, I was like, what did you expect? But also looking at the past couple seasons of this show, like, you might expect them to say it back.
Or just receive it. Just make out a lot. Usually what happens is they make out a lot.
Yeah, don't talk about all of the people you've been in love with on this show that she is currently on and going through.
It's interesting you would say that you were in love with me. I, too, have felt that before. And perhaps one day we'll feel again. Thanks.
Thank you. And again, 10 hand jobs. Well, 9.5. Don't worry. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it.
I mean, it seems pretty clear what a half would be.
Does it seem pretty clear?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Like, there's a complete...
Ooh, explicit Valentine's episode.
There's a complete number, and then there's a half number.
That's true.
And the difference is the complete number is complete.
I guess...
And the half number is incomplete.
Sure. It could also be 38 quarter hand jobs. You know, or it's like 38 times he's like, all right, let's not. Oh, time to go. I'll say, actually, stop. I've gotten 38 quarter hand jobs before on this show. And so the next time I get one quarter hand job, I want it to be the only one quarter of it that I get.
Sometimes I'm like, do you have change for a hand job? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I've got this quarter, and so I'll just take that because it's better than...
Yeah.
You know, not
I've got having... 1/6. Well, fucking let me convert that.
Oh, man. I sure hope my mom doesn't listen to this show anymore.
Yeah, she's probably stopped at this point. No, she's definitely listening.
Group
it's
date.
Just hand jobs. Calm down, Linda. Group. Group quarter hand jobs, too. It's like not even a big deal. Oh, we gotta go.
Group date.
Yes.
Group date is Christina, Raven, and Corinne.
Who read it? Was it Raven who read it? Who read it? Whoever read it was kind of, because she said, Corinne?
Oh,
Raven,
yeah.
Like, gave it a nice long pause.
I don't remember who read it. I don't write that down.
Corinne, that means Corinne doesn't get a one-on-one, ever.
I know.
It's crazy.
So they go on a yacht also. And they all get in their swimsuits, and then there's this gross sunscreen situation
Here's
that
the
happens.
Thing. I found it actually kind of comical.
Well, yeah.
First of all, it lasts for 4 minutes, uncut, 4 minutes, and it's just everybody rubbing lotion, and it was a lot of Nick rubbing thighs, which you pointed out, women's thighs are his, like, security blanket.
Yeah, last week before he sent that woman home, he, like, rubbed the hell out of her thigh and then
Whitney?
Was like...
Is that right?
Yeah. And then was like, I'm going to have to send you home, but you're really attractive, and let me get that thigh a little bit.
Let me get that thigh. But it's not like a... It's not like a... I mean, it's rough, but it's not like a direct, like, come on, I feel like. I honestly feel like it is what he does when he is uncomfortable in a conversation, because he does it, like, or he's uncomfortable because, like, women are rubbing lotion to him on a television camera or whatever. But he just does a lot of, like, rubbing lotion and then lets the women rub lotion into him, and he's just, like, making this, like, goofy-ass face the whole time, and, yeah, the scene lasted just fucking forever. But there were also a lot of, like, transgressive close-ups on everybody as they doffed their outerwear.
Yeah. And we've seen all these women in swimsuits already. Like, I don't know why they keep, like, playing it out like it's new.
I felt bad for Raven on this day because it was, for a lot of it, it seemed like Christina and Korn sitting, like, flanking him.
Yeah.
And Raven just kind of sitting off to the side while he, like...
Raven's got that swagger, though. Like, she never seems insecure. She fucking rules.
Can I say, like, we have Raven on our team, which I'm psyched about, because she kind of fucking rules. Like, she's a cool cucumber.
She never seems, like, worried or...
She's unflappable.
Yeah. So they are on the yacht. They're getting closer to an island, and then everyone starts to joke about getting left on the island. And Nick says, nobody's going to get left on the island. And they find out they're going to be snorkeling and swimming with sharks. And Christina is a little freaked out. And Raven says that she will punch a shark in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And Corinne is just annoyed that Christina is freaked out because it means that she will be getting more time with Nick.
Corinne asks, are they toothless sharks?
Yeah, see, I missed that.
I'm pretty sure it was Corinne. Somebody said it. I'm pretty sure it was Corinne. And I'm going to have to Google it now because I got to know, is that an actual thing? How do you guarantee that it's only toothless sharks that show up in this one spot if that is in fact true?
Corinne does say that she spent a lot of time out in the sea on boats and yachts. And so maybe she is familiar with some kind of toothless shark.
Almost definitely no. Almost certainly not. No. No, not. Maybe there's like some rare breed or whatever the fuck that I am not finding with a very cursory Google search.
Or if you go to like a aquatic place where they let you pet animals, they only put toothless sharks in there.
Yeah, that's,
You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A shark petting, a hands-on shark aquarium.
Yeah.
Where they pulled all the...
Yes.
Right. They pull all the teeth out. This is horrible. What you've suggested.
No, the shark lot of reasons. Has lost all of its teeth
naturally. Just sort of
just candy apples.
Gingivitis. Oh, they ate a lot of candy apples
and they lose their teeth.
Okay, so is it just one shark or do they have multiple sharks that they in this like hands
two.
On two? Okay, so they're married.
Maybe.
Okay, so this is a hands on sharkarium where two married sharks. They get together, and the people who run this nightmare give them candy apples until their mini rows of teeth are all removed from their head. And then so they do something to keep them from growing back, right? Like shark teeth just like pop, grow back a new one, like Pop-Tarts popping out. I'm pretty sure.
Do they grow back?
I think it's like some lizard like tail stuff going on in there. And so that once they've removed all the shark's teeth with candy apples, then kids can come and you can like put your hand right in there, your head right in the shark's mouth. And it's like, fine. It's just like, even if that was a thing, how would you guarantee? Yes, we only let toothless sharks in this part of ocean. Come dive in this part of ocean because we made sure none of those toothed sharks are around here. I'll tell you what. One of our friends asked if they were going near the swimming pig. Part of the ocean swimming pig beach, and I suggested that putting swimming pig beach near shark beach is like a recipe for just complete sorrow, just absolute abject sadness. Unless they were toothless sharks, yes.
And so Christina overcomes her fears briefly, but then does get back in the boat. And Nick comforts her, and Corinne feels like she is just on a date with Christina and Nick at this point.
I don't think I'd like to do this.
Swimming with sharks?
Yeah, I get, like, and don't get me wrong, I know I'm not a dummy, and I get that, like, sharks kill, like, 8 people a year, and we kill and eat, like, 1 billion sharks a year, but those 8 people that sharks kill every year, those 8 people are probably swimming with them in Bimini. And so, like, I don't want to be a statistic.
I just always assume if something is super rare, it's not going to happen to me.
But what I'm saying is like 4 people die every year from a vending machine falling on you, but I'm still not going to like grab a fucking vending machine by the top of it and pull on it.
That's fair.
Because that's what those 4 people did.
That's fair. But wouldn't you like to have the story of like, I have swam with sharks before?
No, I think I'm all right. I got lots of other stories.
I guess that's true. You know, like the time that you got that splinter in your foot that was real bad.
That's happened to me so many times. My foot is soft. I have an artist's foot and it attracts splinters.
What kind of art do you do with your feet?
I don't. I'm saying like I don't move. I'm sedentary is what I meant to say.
Okay. So the second part of the date, they go to a big fancy house, and it's like another sitting around having drinks, eating snacks kind of evening. He pulls Christina away first, and he says that he... Well, they're checking in. Everyone's checking in post Danielle going home because it's, you know, it's sent shockwaves through the whole cast. And he's like, you know, I realized I was really forcing things with Danielle, you know, and that's why I had to send her home. And then he cries again. I don't really remember why.
This was the one that I remember thinking like, kind of why are you doing? Why are you that torn up about Danielle?
Yeah. Raven goes next, and this is when he finds out that Raven's family's had a really hard couple of years. Her dad has lung cancer, and I guess he's doing better now.
Yeah, he's in remission, I think she said.
Yeah, but she, you know, just like is excited to bring Nick home and to have something like some good news to celebrate.
I feel like we glossed over it, but I also feel like he had a great combo with Christina too, coming off their like really, really great one-on-one day. Like, man, I'm so team Nick and Christina. Like, yeah. It seemed like they were like just popping off.
And then it's Corinne's turn, and she, you know, talks about how she's nervous about the lack of one-on-one. And he's like, well, it seems like you've really taken a lot of time and you make the most of our time together, you know, and when this all first started, you'd pull me away a lot and we've just had a lot of really good time together. And at this point, she's like, oh, stop. You're so cute.
It's kind of a shitty response to that, isn't it? Like, yeah, but on these garbage dates I force 8 women to go on with me, you really stand out in the crowd.
Yeah.
It is still a crowd, though. Like, it's not a real date, so...
Yeah, it's enough for her in that moment, but then he gives the group date rose to Raven, and Corinne is
crushed again,
a little devastated.
Oh, and then Raven and him go see
Adam Friedman.
Oh,
you know, musical artist Adam Friedman.
He's done music.
Mm-hmm. And he did music on the show.
He did the music on the show, so we have proof of it.
Mm-hmm. Hey Griffin.
Uh huh.
Can I steal you away?
You want to do it this time? I think you do a good one. I'll set you up again.
The pitch was right.
Yeah, but it needs a little bit more gravel, you know?
I can't gravel. My voice is too crystal clear.
It's true. It's too, your voice is too perfect and flawless.
I mean, you can do it. I can't, though.
If I could get your pitch, though. You have perfect pitch. I have perfect gravel.
Oh, I do not have perfect pitch.
That's not true. I'm right here.
Don't do this to me.
What are we doing on the Jumbotron?
Okay. This message is for Dan and Sbivido Condon. This message is from Dave and Jamie Kelly. And it says, thank you so much for agreeing to suffer through the Bachelor, Bachelorette with us so we can all listen to the salve that is Rose Buddies. You are our best friends. Love you guys.
I mean, I don't know that it is this Saw-esque death trap that you have to endure. It is a 2-hour long ABC television show. Although, I don't know, watching it by ourselves without a big group of friends... I feel like I need a big group of friends and like a couple of Bevins to help me out with it.
No, there is some sadness if you're not among good company.
But thank you for tuning in, and thank you for getting that sweet message. Here's another message for Nikki, Deanna, and Amy, and it's from Dana, who says, to my butt legal girls, whoa. After I gave Doug my final rose, you were the first people I had to tell. You are my rocks, and I love you. Our choreographed NSYNC dance on my wedding day is going to be sick. Let's start practicing at my bachelorette party so I'm not Charlie. Group hug. Love, Dana. Hey, babe.
Uh-huh.
What do you think butt legal means?
I like to think it's a joke that is completely innocent.
I mean, yeah, it's completely innocent no matter what. But I like to think of like a... I think of like a Pauly Shore movie where he is an anthropomorphic butt, but he's also a lawyer. And he helps, you know, crack the big case. But he is he's a huge butt. And I think it's called...
Butt Legal?
Well, yeah, I guess Butt Legal would be the name of the movie. Whatever Butt Legal means, and I celebrate it. I celebrate that turn of phrase. There's no judgment here. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding, and good luck with the big dance. I know how stressful that can be.
Oh, and I wanted to say there may be some other Valentine's message out there that didn't make it in time for this week.
It's a busy week for us.
If you didn't hear your message, don't give up hope. It'll probably be on next week's episode. Do you do the Tim Allen thing again when we leave?
No, do you want me to?
I want to try again.
Oh, you wanted to do it.
Well, no, I want you to sing the song. I want to do my grunt again.
Oh, this is a different key. No.
What?
It just needs more force behind it. Like, if Tim came at it and he was like,
more power.
It would be like, I don't get this show. Yeah, Patricia right. Henderson's excellent, but who's this clown?
I know, I don't commit.
Like that.
Are you sad and confused about world politics? Worried about the upcoming inevitable nuclear war? Or maybe a rat is living in your house? There's a rat living in my house. How do you get rid of a rat from a house? Why not immerse yourself in a completely fictional, imagined podcast for the beef and dairy industries? It works for me. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. Don't worry, it's funnier than it sounds. Find us at beefanddairynetwork.com or maximumfun.org, or wherever you get your podcast from. Oh god, there's the rat! Oh god!
This is when it's time for the next one-on-one, which is Danielle and Nick. Danielle has also had a one-on-one
before.
So
Nick is going on the one-on-one... also? Or they didn't let Chris take this one? That'd be weird if he was like, I would like to go on a date now. What's wrong? Did they go get pizza together? Just some Valentine's ribbing. How fun. A lot of people leave reviews and they're like, I love all the lovely ribbing because I can tell it's all good natured. And it is.
Hey, Rachel, what did Griffin get you for Valentine's this year? Oh, no, he just made fun of me.
Rack of ribs.
I know.
Because I'm ribbing you on your podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I ribbed you, okay? Hey, look, we're not doing the thing where we have a fight on the podcast and then we move on and we talk about other people's love before we repair our own. Please don't laugh at me right now. I'm opening myself up. I'm sorry I ribbed you. It's Valentine's Day. I should be better than this.
Apology accepted.
It's not the only thing I got you. Look what's in this box. It's full of emeralds.
Just loose emeralds.
Loose emeralds of various sizes and cuts.
Just a shake no-no can of emeralds.
Listen to him. No, that didn't sound like emeralds. Fuck, I thought it might sound like emeralds.
You don't have any of your Dungeons & Dragons dice around here? There you go.
This is a bunch of Nintendo 3DS games.
Oh, God.
That I have just loose sitting out on my desk.
What if somebody heard that and was like, there's four? There's four games. That sounded
There are four 3DS games.
That sounded like four games to
There's me. Four 3DS games and one regular DS game. Good ear, babe.
Thanks.
Hey, babe. Sorry I ribbed you, though. For real, though.
It's okay.
I feel guilty about it.
It's okay.
I feel like you're still mad at me about the ribs.
Nah, the ribs are great.
Can I get some bro grabs?
I don't know what that means.
Come on. Sorry about the ribs.
It's okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
I'm so glad I found you.
It's the best one ever. Danielle and Nick are on the beach. They're riding bicycles. We get kind of almost a montage. There's some kids. There's some dancing. They have some drinks. They talk about Wisconsin. They talk about hometowns.
They sort of talk about Wisconsin, and they sort of talk about hometowns.
This is when Nick tells us that, like, things are not really going anywhere.
This convo is uncomfortable,
that
man.
It's awkward, that, like, they've kind of lost some momentum.
It's not even just awkward silence. I think it's actually, what happens here is worse than that, in that it is awkward, both of them trying and just fucking
He does literally rub her thigh, which means, you know, we know, means he's uncomfortable.
It's like the fucking Godfather, like, kissing Luca right before he's taken out, like...
They see, like, an island of shells, and they refer to it.
Is that just a big, big shell island?
Yeah.
Is that an old shell island?
Yeah.
Yes, that's an old shell. All these old shells just sort of piled up.
Old shell island.
There's a bunch of old shells over there. Let's live there.
There's just a little teeny crab that is the groundskeeper.
Uh-huh.
He just pushes around.
Pushes the shells all together. I love that.
Isn't that nice? Got a little gray mustache.
Yeah, like a Wall-E, but like underwater.
Yeah.
Well, that's Finding Nemo.
No, that's a different,
okay.
different thing. So they talk about how comfortable they are together, and he talks about how her face is, quote, pretty great. And then she launches into the, you know, my heart's been really open, and I just feel really good about us, and this is when you know the axe is coming.
Yeah.
And Nick says something about how, like, you know, I've been in love before, and, you know, there's always that longing with love, and I just don't think we're gonna get there. And then he's like, you're just so great.
Yeah.
And she says, not great enough.
That was brutal, yeah.
Nice dig.
Nick has this way about him. We've referred to him as the Axe Man, and I think he's definitely more, like, straight to the point than a lot of folks that we've seen headlining this
show.
Yeah,
not as good as Ben, though.
Not as good as Ben, because what Nick does that's a little bit chicken shit is he always talks about the future being the reason. Like, I just don't think in an infinite amount of time, if you get infinite monkeys with infinite keyboards, like, he's like, I just don't see us in the future getting there. What he doesn't say is, like, I'm just not feeling it now.
He always tries to, like, compliment them in a big way, too. Like, but you're just so attractive.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks, Nick.
Do you think they should stop walking them out on both Bachelor and Bachelorette? I can't imagine anybody wanting that.
Well, but it looks cold, right? If he just keeps sitting at the table and she gets up and walks away and he just keeps sitting there.
Maybe, but I also think about it from her point of view. Nobody has ever been like, can I walk you out? Yes, please. Which way's the car? I don't know where the...
You want to get something to eat on our way out?
Yeah, I'm going to hit the mini bar for a second.
Is now a good time to hold your hand?
That's the worst, though. Should we kiss one last time? You shouldn't. If you've been kicked off the show, your kissing license has been revoked and torn up and destroyed. Please don't try to do it again.
What if they were like, I want that weird gift I gave you on the first night back. I want you to give me that wooden box I gave you with all my pictures in it.
Mm-hmm. That necklace I gave you made out of my...
I'll wait. I'll stand here and wait. Go get it.
The necklace I made you out of my baby spoon.
Or the shark teeth.
Or the shark teeth
from those
that I fucking
sharks.
Tore out with candy apples.
So Danielle goes home.
Yeah.
That's it for Danielle.
Goodbye, Danielle. So this leaves us with 5 women and 4 spots, although Raven already has a rose, so it's really 3 spots. And really, at this point, like, who are we talking about? We're talking about Rachel, we're talking about Korn, we're talking about Christina, and we're talking about Vanessa. And it's like, all 4 of those women are, like, invincible.
Yeah,
I had a hard time imagining who it was going to be.
I think at this point we've realized Corinne is at more of a front runner than I think we.
Yeah, but and also
thought.
We realize that she's not fucking going home because then they spend the next 20 minutes of the show just her having this fucking crisis of like, I'm going to go home. I'm going home. I'll go home. I'm going home next. I'll be the one that goes home next. And it's like if the show's belaboring it that much. It would be so stupid if they actually did that. No, you're not going home. So Korn's good.
So Danielle shows up and gets her things. And this is when Corinne decides, you know what? I could go home at any moment. I've really got to put my back into this. So she starts kind of dressing up a little bit, you know, putting on some makeup and some clothes. And she goes to the Hilton where Nick is staying and goes to his room.
This is the vagine thing, guys. Yeah, just to let you know, we're here. It's here.
He offers her a drink.
He says, I'm having a nightcap. Can I get you something?
And she's like, I just want to make sure you're okay. Which, like, oh, man, she cannot sell that line at all. Some women can sell that line. Corinne cannot sell that line in this instance. So he opens the champagne in a kind of a sexual way, I would say.
The champagne. You said it was having a nightcap already, but you hadn't opened the champagne, so you weren't. And also, like, I don't know, man.
And they're sitting on the couch, and he, like, kind of grabs her hand, and then, like, he doesn't know what to do with it once he has it. He, like, brings it to his mouth and then his face.
Yeah.
It's a weird moment. And then this is when we get the line about her heart and her private parts.
And I, like, lost it. It's like when you're watching a movie and they say the name of the movie.
Yeah.
I, like, fucking lost my mind. I was just yelling. I was like, yes, it's here, it's here,
or, like,
it's here.
When you're watching Saved by the Bell and Slater comes on screen.
Yeah, and he's like, it looks like I've been really saved by the bell this time, because he, like, just barely made it to the bus. You know?
The bell on the bus?
Yeah, just time to watch the bus fly by. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's not a bell on the bus, is there?
Mm-mm.
Shoot.
And so then she takes him into a separate room of the suite, and the door closes, but they're still mic'd.
Probably the bedroom.
I don't want to assume.
Well, she says, let's dive into bed, so it's... I think it was a bedroom.
We didn't see a bedroom. We don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, we don't want another gross factual error on the show.
I am a hard journalist.
Yeah, you sure are. You've been calling Elon all day. Elon, tell me, was it a bedroom? Was it? I gotta know. I need firsthand confirmation.
So they're still mic'd, so we get to see their exchange. And then there's some fun Mad Libs here.
Yeah.
She says, let's dive into bed. And then she says, you have to have two hands on at all times. Don't jiggle.
No jiggling.
Lightly massage.
Here's
where do you think those two hands are?
Do you want to know the truth? I think that they were on...
You can't see it, but I'm raising my eyebrows right now.
She really is. I think that they were on, like, a fucking rolling pin making biscuits 2 fucking weeks ago. Because straight up, if I can't see the people on this fucking dastardly fucking Loki trickster television show, if I can't see the people's mouths moving and the words coming out of them, I can assume that they are coming from 8 different days, like 14 different conversations, fucking spliced up, like, I want you to touch my vagina, like, cut up, fucking spliced and Tiesto remix the fuck up. I don't trust this show as far as I can fucking throw it. And in, like, a DVD form, I could throw it pretty fucking far. So, like, when they go behind closed doors and it's like, don't touch me there. It's like, that could have been in reference to, like, anything, anywhere, with anyone, at any time, wherever. Like, yeah.
That's fair. What we're led to believe happens. He tells her that she's very attractive, but then says that he doesn't think it's a good idea. And then he says, aren't we supposed to wait in these instances?
I mean, structurally, yes, 2 more weeks you're supposed to wait until there's just 3 people left. And then you get to go to the sex house, I think is what it's called.
And so Corinne is embarrassed and she keeps saying, like, oh my God, like, she feels silly. And he's like, you know, it's not a big deal.
He says he didn't want to make a mistake like he made on Caitlyn's season, which is, like, I was curious if they were going to draw a parallel. Yeah, I was curious if they were going to draw a parallel because that was I think that's the biggest blemish sort of on Nick's, like, past is he.
Well, and then he, like,
right. That's
shit.
What I'm saying. Like, they hooked up and then, like, whatever. I hook up on the TV show. Whatever. You're 2 consenting adults. Go nuts.
Well, I'm talking about what he did to Andy.
Right. Was it Andy or was it?
No,
it was,
remember?
Wasn't it? Holy shit. Andy, I thought it was Caitlyn that he did it to.
Caitlyn was the one that he had sex with early
on the season, and then the whole season became about the fact that she had sex.
Andy's the one he called out.
You're right. I got them confused. I thought it was Caitlyn that he called out in the thing. Either way,
sex causes problems for Nick.
Well, The Bachelor causes problems for Nick.
That's good. That's fair.
I don't know. Again, another thing that they've literally been building up the entire season that lasted the span of, like, between 2 commercial breaks.
Yeah, and then we have to watch Corinne, like, walk out of the hotel.
That was uncomfortable. Like, you hate to see somebody, like, try to, like, assert their sexuality and get shot down under, like, any circumstances. And then she was, like, she was a wreck the rest of the episode because she thought, like, oh, I'm definitely going home now.
Yeah, she keeps saying that it backfired. Like, I don't know if her intent was to have sex with him. It seems like it was, but you can tell that she's very embarrassed.
Yeah, it was just, like, kind of, it was kind of embarrassing. It was, I don't know that it was as shamey as, like, this show has been in the past.
Yeah.
It was just, like, but you had, like, I feel like if you're on the, watching it, I feel like I've picked up on this. If you're in the show, I feel like you definitely have to pick up on, Nick is not going to do anything to harm his image now. In this, the twilight hours of his tenure on this franchise, probably he's not gonna make some twist now and have some big thing in his season that will, like, then be what his narrative is in the Bloids. It'll be an unfair narrative if it pops up, but he knows how this fucking game works at this point.
Yeah, no, he has really, like, he's bought into the rules of the show.
So if you're Korn, like, you gotta know that he's not gonna go for that. Like, he's not a Ben Flajanik. Like, he's not gonna go for it. I hope I'm not sounding, like, judgmental of people, like, hooking up or whatever, because that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from, like, this is how the show operates, and Nick knows it better than anybody who's played the game before, and so, like, you gotta know that he's not gonna go for this.
Well, I'm sure she was coaxed into making that play.
Korn, we talked about Korn, and, like, there's some, oh boy, is there some problematic stuff with Korn, and, like, how her nanny has become this weird running joke now, like, that is referenced in every episode and just as, like, a Korn modifier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of gross. And by the way, folks, like, I see some folks sharing stuff in the group about, like, Korn's nanny, like, having, like, fake Twitter and Instagram accounts. And, like, I think that sucks. And it's a real person. And we have fun here on Rose Buddies. But, like, people, like, impersonating her is, I think, kind of the shit move.
She's a real person doing her job. I mean, regardless of how we feel about that job, like, she's, you know, she's an employee and
yeah,
she's clearly close to this family.
It sucks the way the show is, like, treating it as, like, a really, really run down into the ground joke about, like, Korn's entitlement or whatever. I feel like nobody, I talked about this last week. I don't think anybody in the house hates her. I think everybody in the house kind of likes her, actually, and thinks she's just, like, kind of young, because her and Rachel have this interaction back at the house where Rachel's, like, calming her down. And we've seen, like, a few interactions with other women in the house that are, like, kind of caring and kind of sweet. And, like, I do not think it is this, like, toxic villainous relationship that the show maybe wants us to think.
No,
it
they
is.
Seem to treat her like she's just kind of a goofball.
Yeah.
Okay. Last date, Rachel. They're going to experience local culture, and so Nick picks her up and takes her to a local bar that he assures us is not one visited by tourists. And they drink more bottles. We've seen a lot of bottles in these, like, straw jackets. This episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some of those. And they talk again about hometowns. And this is when they have maybe the most interesting conversation that has ever happened on the show. Nick says, "Am I similar to guys you've dated before?" And there's kind of an undercurrent there.
Absolutely. It's a leading question.
And she picks up on it right away and says, "What kind of? I have never brought home a white guy before.
I've dated white guys before, but I've never brought a white guy home."
Yeah. And she says, my entire family is everybody. Like, you know, it's not going to be, basically implying, like, it's not going to be an issue. It's not like we've never had white people in our family before.
The whole conversation, I'm, Rachel makes it through to next week, and I'm, like, kind of, I'm excited for this.
Well, we
hometown.
Assume so. There was no...
That's rose a good point. Ceremony. There's no rose ceremony. It was a conversation that I wouldn't trust this show with. And it was handled like really, really well. And it was like so fucking real, man. Like,
yeah.
This was one of the few times where like I feel like Nick wasn't like reading lines off a script or something, and, like reading plays, because he like genuinely doesn't know what to expect from this hometown and was like actually doing genuine reconnaissance, like it seemed like.
Well, and they didn't over dramatize it either.
No, not at all.
You know, they didn't play any like loud music behind it or build in all these pauses or make it seem like it was going to be this big heated thing. Like, it just seemed like a real sincere conversation.
It seems like we're giving the show like points for something that of course it shouldn't have like exploited it, but like, this is, I think this is the farthest that a black woman has made it on the show before. And so, like, they could be bad about it, because this show is bad with so many other things. I don't see why it couldn't also be very bad at race. Yeah. And so, like,
it has been a lot
of the time. So, like, I don't know. It was every conversation that Rachel's involved in, it was just so like very, very genuine.
Yeah.
And that is what makes me so fucking excited about the idea of her being the Bachelorette. Like, oh man.
So she says the phrase that Griffin really liked. She says, "I love sports. I don't play games."
That's fucking good, Rachel. I'm going to use that.
It's nice. And then I wrote down another moment. So they're out on this pier, and Rachel sits up on the banister of this pier.
Oh, yeah.
And they're kissing.
She's like, okay, she's sitting on the banister and like on the rail, so much so that if she tilted backwards, she would fall into the ocean.
And so Griffin completely sincerely, not even as a joke,
reflexively.
Yeah. It says, "All right, dangerous." I was like, I'm writing that down. That is so revealing.
It's dangerous. She had like her arms wrapped around him, but she was sitting on this pier.
It's a romantic moment between two people.
A dangerous romantic moment. Yeah. I swear I wasn't making some sort of like aw shucks goof. It was like I saw this happening and I was like, all right, dangerous.
Gives you a little window into the wild and crazy stunts that Griffin and I get up to.
Right. This date was really
sweet. And that was it. That was it.
And very
the date
short.
Was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the end of the date. The next scene is Rachel going back to the house. And we cut to Chris and Nick, and Nick says he knows what he wants to do. He wants to say goodbye to a woman, and he wants to do it in private. Not in front of everyone at a rose ceremony. And then he goes to the house.
I called this, by the way, from downtown.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out who was going home. I thought because there had been so much speculation about Rachel being the Bachelorette, that maybe it'd be Rachel, but it didn't make sense because they'd had such a good date. And then, of course, they're leaning so hard on Corinne, like making it seem like, oh, it's definitely Corinne. It's definitely Corinne. And so he shows up at the house, and we know whoever's name he says is the one who's going to go home. And so he walks in the door, and he asks where Christina is.
Y'all.
And takes Christina out on the porch and starts talking about how great she is, and then she knows right away that she's going home.
I hate that, but it's like 100% of the time, if the Bachelor or Bachelorette comes to you and is like, "Hey, I think you're so great," it'd be like, "All right, pull the fucking car around, whatever."
Yeah. Yeah, and so she says, "You didn't give me a fair chance," and he's crying a little bit.
You're like, you'll make some guy very happy someday, and you have a lot to offer somebody, but you shouldn't have to settle for somebody who says that they have better relationships with other people. And
he says that line that I hate so much, where he's like, "I don't want to say goodbye to you." It's like, you know, clearly you do.
You do.
You saying that sentence is not helping. And yeah, and so that's the end of the episode. We're suggested that next week the women are still nervous because they're like, well, are more people going home? Is this it? Are there maybe three on hometowns instead of four? But we're pretty sure that that's it.
Yeah. And that's the episode. Boy, I guess we had more to talk about there than I thought. Although a lot of that was Home Improvement impressions. Like 16 minutes of that was Home Improvement
stuff. So I guess we'll wait for this Jimmy Kimmel announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10:52, right? Like, it should be happening like right about now.
I'm telling you, we just get on Twitter and figure it out.
I mean, we could also just pause this and go walk in the other room for like 2 minutes and see, because I think it's happening right now.
Okay, so we just watched the big announcement.
Big breaking news. Oh, is he going to barf? It's Cecil, not Henry. It's our cat. We can't let him outside or else he'll wake the baby up. He's a big old Johnson like that sometimes. Anyway, official confirmation. He's really frightened me now.
We sat down with our cat and we watched Jimmy Kimmel. And the announcement showed us that the Bloids were correct.
The Bloids, you got them this time. Missed it on Bat Boy, but you got this one.
Rachel is the next Bachelorette.
Rachel's going to be the next Bachelorette. Y'all, I'm so excited. Jimmy, I feel like, here's the thing about Jimmy. I think his most endearing and, like, funniest shit is when he's talking about The Bachelor, because it is so evident that he's, like, such a hyper fan. And he says, so I take it that the hometown dates didn't go so well. And now Cecil's jumping into a big cardboard box. We have seconds before this thing falls apart.
Yeah, he basically confirms what I think.
What a big asshole.
I think everybody was annoyed about, which is that by announcing that Rachel is the Bachelorette, we know she doesn't win.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy says, well, this is kind of a big spoiler, isn't it? Which it is. But here we are, America.
This is all the conversations they've had, by the way, Rachel and Nick have been like, so what do I call your dad? Well, his name's Sam. So Sammy? No, don't call him Sammy. Call him sir or your honor or your excellency. You know this fucking dude's going to roll up and be like, Sammy.
Yeah.
Hey, Sammy, can I marry your daughter, please?
That sounds
Sammy.
Like Nick. So there's this suggestion that They are starting to cast and they want to get the word out, and we are lucky to be a big fan of Rachel.
It's like being locked in here with a fucking bobcat. Like it's being locked in here with like a panther, a hungry, angry panther.
I think he heard that Henry's gotten on the show and he's now
he wanted a guest
one in a piece.
Anyway, that's the episode. We're very, very excited. Rachel, congratulations. We'd love to have you on the show sometime. He's hanging on the doorknob. What the fuck, dude? He's incredible, this cat. Rachel, congratulations, seriously. And to you, Rachel, again, like, you must be so fucking stoked right now just because of, like, the name.
Maybe there'll be some, like, t-shirts they print that say, like, Rachel is the Bachelorette, and I can just wear those.
You can wear it, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Thanks for listening. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great podcasts there. I'm talking about shows like One Bad Mother, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Beef and Dairy Network. They're all super great. We have other shows that the McElroy family does. They're all at McElroyShows.com. You can find out all our contact info, P.O. boxes, email, Twitter, all our videos and stuff that we do all there. Anything else, Rachel?
Oh, I just wanted to quickly thank somebody made us a CD of cool songs for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot to thank them last week. So that is thank you to Andy for the mix CD. There's all sorts of cool stuff on there, like the White Stripes and Cat Stevens and They Might Be Giants. And
oh, sick. We should pop that in sometime.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, thank you to everybody who sends us stuff. We get a lot, and it's all very, very touching and very sweet. Thank you all so much. Next week, hometown, strap in. Get ready. We're going to Hoxie. We're going to wherever everybody else is from. Quebec City, I think.
Who's from Canada?
Vanessa.
Oh, yeah.
She's Canadian. Okay, that's
it. I think
it.
Rachel's from Dallas.
Okay, we gotta stop, because the cat is really stressing me out. There's so much expensive things in here. And just a single cat hair. If it gets in my gaming PC rig, it'll all just come falling apart. Okay. Then I won't be able to play all my esports.
Okay.
And you know I gotta have my esports.
I do know that about you.
I like esports. I don't play games. Except all the esports games I play. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy. When you're ready.
Final rose. Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max FunCon has been a huge inspiration in my life.
Now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.